Joel. Yeah, in case you didn't hear that, Joel says, Mozzie, some Oaks, they go to other places to get legless, and then they come here to get their legs. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Guys, the crowd from Rightful Limb of, I don't know, maybe they heard, ons hou daarvan om vreed saam te kuier. And they've arranged to a serious amount of cake. 200 and plenty pieces of cake just to say thank you to this congregation. So after the service in the hall next door, there's a piece of cake for every single person here. We'll start off with a piece. A piece of cake for every person. Once every person has had, then you can help yourself to some more pieces of cake to feed your pie hole with. No, seriously, thank you. And I encourage you, please join us for that afterwards. Especially if you're a first-time visitor, please come and speak to me. Tell me who you are, where you're from. I'd like to get to meet you if you're a first-time visitor. And also, just to see the cakes there. It's got the badges on and stuff like that. It's really, really awesome. So thank you very much for that. Okay. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. We started a new theme called Position, Potential, and Purpose. And the theme scripture that we started off looking at last week is 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And it says, For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just to recap, we looked at the fact that we need to understand our position in Christ and that we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places and tackle every challenge that we face, every difficulty that we face in the light of that fact. We're not victims. We're not people here on earth trying to exercise some form of religion to get heaven to download something. God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we're seated with Him. We also looked at the fact that if it says there that we are bought and paid for, we're not really our own. And that if you buy a pair of shoes, if you buy a motorcycle, you purchase something. There's an exchange of currency, and there's also an exchange of ownership. And if that's the case, we can't really lay claim to certain things that are ours because we've been bought with the blood of Jesus. And if you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes things substantially if you've been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. And this week, the first part of that theme is position, and then potential, and then purpose. This week, we're going to look at our position here in South Africa. Perhaps you seated here this morning and you one of several people that are contemplating immigrating to get away from the troubles in South Africa. Maybe you're contemplating getting away from the troubles and the challenges and difficulties that you're facing in a relationship. Maybe you're contemplating getting out of the troubles and the challenges that you're facing at your workplace. But you put place down, yes, up a plaque in your lever via you will net eight. It's time out. And you just want to make a complete change of environment or scenery. But I want us to specifically focus on this aspect of the challenges that we're facing in South Africa here at the moment. So if you wanting to immigrate and leave this country for various reasons, consider this. If you're leaving because of the challenges and the difficulties and the problems that we're facing in this country, and I don't like to call them problems because it's actually just a challenge. A problem, if you turn it into a challenge, can become a stepping stone. And you want out because of the challenges that you're facing. Consider this scripture before you pack your bags. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 says the following. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world, the world around us is under the control of the evil one. So if the whole world is under the control of Satan, waartoe gaan jy? Where are you going to go? If you're going to go away from the South African flavor of troubles, you're just going to get the Australian flavor of troubles or the New Zealand flavor of troubles or the Timbuktu flavor of troubles or the American flavor. Where are you going to go if the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one? That's what the Bible says. The whole world around us lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, I'm not trying to tell anybody not to go. But folks, before you go, please make sure that you're going for God's reasons and not your own. Because God has positioned us in South Africa for a very specific purpose and a very, very crucially specific time. There is no other time that South Africa has experienced like we're experiencing right here and now, especially for the Church of Jesus Christ. If the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, where are you going to go? Two things from this portion of Scripture that I want to read to you. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, it says the following. In Acts 17 and 27, it says, He is made from one blood. Everybody say one blood. One blood. So if you have ethnic pride this morning, or pride is to your origins, the Scripture says God has made us from all blood. So in all of us, there's some Xhosa blood. There's some Tswana blood. There's some Bushman blood. There's some Mexican blood. There's also from all. In all of creation, God has made us all from one blood. So how are you now in terms of your ethnic pride and the pride of your pure bloodline? The Scripture says He has made every nation from one blood. For men to dwell on the earth and the face of the earth, and He's determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God has appointed, pre-appointed, the boundaries of their dwellings and predetermined their times. That's how specific God is. It's not a random chance that because of whatever you are now in South Africa at this time. No, the Scripture says, from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Two things from that portion of Scripture. One blood. We've mentioned that. And then pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. That's very, very significant. So your reason for wanting to leave must not be based on fear, because God cannot honor any decision based on fear. He can only honor decisions based on faith. Romans 14, 23 in the B part says, anything that's not done in faith is sin. So if your motivation to leave is fear, well, I fear that there's no future for my children. Well, if it's fear that's your motivating factor, folks, when you get to the other side, and when the hype and the novelty of moving and emigrating is settled, you're going to face different challenges of a different kind altogether, completely. Because the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So what's the significance then of finding and understanding our position? Our position in Christ. Who are we in Christ? And where has God placed us? And why has He placed us here in this country for a time such as this? The specifics of the dwellings. The specifics of our dwellings. Pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. It's clear that God has a pre-appointed time in mind for us to live. And a pre-appointed place in mind for us to live. And in our case, it is sunny South Africa. Yay! I can just see you brimming over with excitement about being a South African resident in 2019. But folks, we're not playing down or belittling the challenges that we face in the nation. But I want to submit to you, is it possible that God actually knows what He's doing? Is it possible that it's with a specific intention in mind that He has chosen the Church of Jesus Christ, as it looks today in South Africa, to be here in 2019 in South Africa? Is it possible that God knows exactly what he's doing? Is it possible? Because if that's the case, then we really need to assess ourselves and say, okay, what has God placed me for here? And what is my purpose to play in this nation and in this time? Now, I'm really not a politician, because poly means many, and I'm not into politics, because poly means many, and a tick is something that sucks the blood of a dog. But it's important for us to understand. I'm faced with challenges when you trying to discern what it is that God is telling you to tell people on a Sunday. My heart's desire is to do expository kind of preaching, where we teach and we expose and the polemics of the word and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, people need to know how to live. We need to know how to live. When we leave this building and face the real world on a Monday, have we learned how to live? So how, as the Church of Jesus Christ, do we deal with the challenges we face in South Africa? By understanding our position, our potential in Christ, and His purpose for us being alive here and now. Two things. These are, you get these self-help programs, the 7 steps to successful living, or the 14 steps to this, or the 21-day program to whatever. This morning I'm going to give you 2 steps to a better life in South Africa. It's easy for me to remember. How many of you would like to know what that is? 2 steps to living a better life in South Africa. Are you ready for this? They're easy, and there's only 2. So the chances are you'll be able to remember them by Wednesday still. Okay. 2 steps to living a better life in South Africa. Number 1. Are you ready for this? This is deep. This is deep. Come to terms with the fact that this nation is facing huge socio-economic challenges. Step number 1. That's it. Come to terms with it. Now, what does it mean to come to terms with it? This is one definition of what coming to terms might mean. That's the first step. The second step is choose to make a positive contribution to change. So step number 1, come to terms with the fact that South Africa is facing huge socio-economic challenges. And number 2, make a decision to make a positive contribution to change in this nation. Okay, so let's break that down a bit. Coming to terms. Coming to terms does not mean just accepting things the way they are. Coming to terms might mean the following. Coming to terms in this context might mean just stop complaining. So many people have said amen. But I can tell you what, chances are that those people that have said amen are probably the biggest complainers, myself included. I shared a couple of weeks ago, I know about this guy that can complain and moan and groan. Up there, me. Especially when things break, when I don't have the time to fix them. You must hear me. I set off on a tangent, put this whole Christianity thing aside, and I let rip. And I complain. Coming to terms, let's just say that in this context, can first mean just stop complaining. Now, picture yourself at what we, at our social gatherings. Might be church gatherings, might be just gathering together with a couple of friends over the Rugby World Cup, for argument's sake. Boy, if you ever want something to complain about, just get together and watch the rugby. Just think about how the things will change if at our social gatherings we just stop complaining. At that gathering, you will not change the crime rate, the inflation rate, the exchange rate, the unemployment rate. You will not change any of those things, but the whole atmosphere and dynamic of that social gathering will change if you just stop complaining. Let's just start there. The whole atmosphere will change. You will start to feel better. The other people you're hanging around with will start to feel better. And when you go home, you will feel better, whether South Africa's won the game or not, if you just stop complaining. So coming to terms with the challenges. First of all, folks, let's just stop complaining. Does that mean that we must deny the realities of the difficulties in this nation? No. But we can state the facts. And the facts are A, B, C, D, wada, all the problems. But the truth is, God has an answer and a solution for those things. And that answer and the solution to those challenges in this nation, you know where it is? Within the confines of these walls this morning. That's where they are. That's where they are. The solution is in the obedience of men and women of God. They will say, yes, Lord, Yahweh, use me to do something. Make a positive change somewhere. That's where the solutions lie. So the first step is coming to terms with those things. Stop complaining. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. There it is. It's not just a good idea. The scripture says, stop it. There's a video clip doing the rounds. Stop that. Hiku, bel die polisi. If you don't know what that's about, that's fine. But the woman says, I laugh. It's not what she says, it's the way she says it. Stop that. Jelle is maandag uitgeset. It's happening over the weekend probably. Sê wil jy hoor die naweek werk nie. She's not going to do anything about getting the people, but Maandag is jy uitgesit. Kan ons asseblief vanoggend vir onsself sê, Maandag, stop dit. Hou op met complain and moan and groan. And find something in the scripture that enables you to speak positively over any difficulty that you're facing. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact is we got huge, huge issues in this nation. But the truth is God has a solution. And the solution is with His church. Not with religion, but with His church. Men and women of God that are willing to let God's will be done in their lives and live that out. That's where it is. The first step is just come to terms with it. The second step is to choose to make a positive contribution. Choose to make a positive contribution. Somebody has said, and I learned this a while ago, and it's something I think about so often. Don't strive to make a living. Everybody wants to get a qualification, to get a job, or do something to make a living. Have you heard that before? Well, don't strive to make a living. Strive to make a difference. There's a difference. Don't just make a living. Make a difference. So an income can just be that, just an income. Or you can use that and yourself and your time and your abilities to make a difference in the world somehow, somewhere. The second thing is to make a positive contribution to change. And it might look like this. All right? Making a positive contribution is coming to the realization that life is not just about me. That didn't go down too well. Life is not just about me. It's not just about how happy we can make ourselves. It's not just about how happy we can make ourselves. So looking to make positive change is not just about positive change for yourself. It's about others also. Philippians 2 and verse 4, it says, do not look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So it's okay to look out for your own interests. But once that's taken care of, then what? You're going to live a very unsatisfactory, unfulfilled life if all you live for is your own interests. Because you're going to fulfill an interest, and guess what? There's going to be another interest. And you're going to fulfill that, and there's going to be, guess what? Yet another interest. And so it's going to carry on and on and on. And you'll never get to a sense of fulfillment until such time that you start taking care of the interests of others. That's how we've been created. The most selfish people on earth are also some of the most wealthiest and unfulfilled people on earth. They have enough money to buy islands and in some cases buy countries. But they're not fulfilled because they're not living, taking care of the interests of others as well. So there's the balance in the scripture. It's not just about ourselves, but taking care of the interests of others. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so much more than just telling people about Jesus. That's just one part of it. How else can the gospel be lived out? There are many ways in which to show the love of Jesus through acts of sacrificial service to other people. For example, charities and other community upliftment programs. Community upliftment programs and charities are making a difference in people's lives. Now, I'm not boasting about this, but it needs to be known in case you don't know. This small but growing congregation for the last 12 years on a regular monthly basis by stop order financially contributes to 9 of the top 9 charities in South Africa regularly. By default, debit order for the past 12 years, because those people do things that we cannot do ourselves, and they're better doing it. It's better they do it than we're trying to do it ourselves. Amongst others, the Itemba Trust, Reach for a Dream, the World Wildlife Fund, Childhood Cancer Foundation, the Cancer Association of South Africa, Cotlands, the SPCA, the Red Cross Society, Africa Children's Feeding Scheme, and more recently, Ride for a Limb. Charles spoke about some of the proceeds of the Ride for a Son fundraising project that we have goes for things like that. That's how we can make a positive difference. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just telling people about Jesus. It's about making a difference in people's lives in a practical, real, day-to-day way. Now, how does that start? The best place to start is at home. Those two things. Come to terms with the challenges. Second thing is, choose to make a positive contribution. Where does it start? The best place for it to start is at home. And this way it gets a little bit more real. I'm speaking to the men this morning. If you're a husband here, raise your hand. Okay. And if you are male and have intentions of becoming a husband one day, raise your hand. There we go. Okay. Some of you are like, yeah, well, whatever. There's my nothing else to do, so let me not become a husband. Guys, the simplicity of this is actually so profound. So we make a positive contribution. We think of like these grandiose things of impacting the nation and your name up in lights and 15 minutes of fame. But the reality of it is it starts at home. Making a positive contribution. So here it is. Making a positive contribution. Are you ready for it? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. And children, honor your parents. Folks, if we do that, because here it is, and I just really sense to say this by the Spirit of God. Men, it starts with us. That is the order, the apostolic order that God has spoken it in the Scriptures. Husbands, love your wives. You want your wife to submit to you? Then love her like Jesus loves the church. Why must she submit to a muhu, a royal jerk, that the only three people he thinks about is me, myself, and I? Why must a woman submit to a mess like that? It's very quiet now. Why must a woman submit to an abusive husband who abuses her verbally, physically, or whatever, or manipulatively? Why must a woman submit to that? Why? Why must a woman submit to a man who doesn't fear God and doesn't live for Jesus? Why? You want your wife to submit? You want her to open up to you like a flower? Then love her like Christ loved the church. It starts with the men. Come on, men. Love your wives like Christ loved the church. And if you remember, if you're sitting with a ball and chain today, you chose her. You chose her. Deal with it. Deal with it. That's where it starts. Folks, we laugh about these things. But if the devil can mess up the family, he's messed up the church. And when he's messed up the church, the nation is messed up. That's where it starts. So you want to make a difference in South Africa? Love your wives. The best gift you as a father can give your children doesn't have a rand value attached to it, but loving their mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband's godly leadership. And children, honor your parents. I saw a video clip this week that shocked me of a 16-year-old boy disrespecting his father like you cannot believe. And I recently now in South Africa, Justice Mokoeng, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, is apparently, I've been told, has made it illegal to physically chastise children. Apparently, it's law now in South Africa. Really? Really? So, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we can change this nation. Two steps. Simple. Who can remember what the first one is? Terms. Terms are come to terms with the fact that South Africa is facing huge socioeconomic challenges. And coming to terms means stop complaining. Stop complaining. Stop debt. And number two, make a decision to make a positive change. How can you make a positive change at home? For some men, it might mean doing the dishes. I'm just saying. Don't crucify me. I don't know. It might mean helping with some household chore instead of you got the remote in one hand, packet of chips in the other, say, hey, vrou, bring for me nog a koue enetjie daar so, asseblief. Positive change might not be just changing your position from where you've been laying on the couch for the last hour and a half doing nothing to another position on the couch. It doesn't mean that. Make a positive contribution in the home. For the wives, it might be, how's about just encouraging your man? Just encourage your husband. The plan on how to, and the system and the methodology and the teaching behind how to please a woman is a pile of books this high, and it's still busy being written, and it's volume one. It's still being written. It's these books and volumes of how to please a woman. But for a man, it's simple. I can write it on a post-it piece of paper, a little post-it. Give him food, sex, and respect. That's it. That's it. Now, come on. Come on now. So you wanna? How's about encouraging your husband? Just compliment him on something. So you know, you've only got three roles now around your midsection. There used to be six, love. Well done. Keep at it. I know you can do it, babe. Encourage him in some area. Children, how do you honor your parents? How do you honor your parents? Any ideas? Just give them honor and respect. Respect them. Understand that, yes, maybe they grew up in a different time to you and with different values, and maybe they're not completely tech savvy as you are. Maybe they don't understand the way things are, whatever, but understand that they also have a positive contribution to make. There in those gray hairs, there's wisdom. Hard-earned wisdom from hard-earned lessons. And that's it. That's all I've got to say this morning. When it comes to position, potential, and purpose, folks, God has placed us in South Africa for a specific purpose at a specific time. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate, desperate to see my home life change, this church change, this nation change. And it starts with us. It started off by God reaching out and doing His part in sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross in our place so that we can have this relationship with Him, so that we can have our past dealt with, so that we can experience His love for us. When we experience His love freely given, we can then make a decision to love others, to love our wives, to love our husbands, to love our parents, to love our children. And maybe you're at a place in your life where, I don't know, that love of Jesus is not a reality to you. Maybe it's something you say, well, if God loves me, why did this and this happen? If God is a God of love, how come this and happen? If God is a God of love, why there's all this pain and tribulation and suffering in the world today? Well, folks, truth be told, there's no theologian that has an answer to all of those things. And when we cannot understand God, God can always be trusted. I don't always know why bad things happen to good people, but I know God is still the God of yesterday, today, and forever, who loves us unconditionally. So much so, amen. So much so that He sent Jesus to die in our place. For God so loved the world that He gave us His Son Jesus. And if you believe in Him, you'd have everlasting life. And then verse 17 says, and He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world and to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You're sitting here this morning and that love of Jesus is not a reality in your life. I want to encourage you, would you just give God a chance to prove Himself true to you? Would you give God a chance to show that His love is unconditional? You're looking for proof or evidence of the existence of the loving God. Well, just dare to believe that He loves you. And invite the saving grace and love of Jesus Christ into your heart. Just close your eyes and bow your heads together as we pray this morning. First and foremost, I want to just sense to pray this morning. If you are fearful this morning about what the future holds, perhaps about your economic future, you don't know whether you're going to have a job this time next year. Maybe you don't even know if you have a job on Monday when you go there. There's fear creeping into your heart little bit by little bit. Subtly, you're starting to lend your ears more and more and more to the what ifs and your but and the uncertainty and the insecurities that we're facing today. And if you're in that place, I want to pray for you this morning right there where you're seated. Lord, I want to pray for every precious heart this morning, Lord God, that has been troubled by fear. I mean, oh Lord, that fear is not of you, Lord. I'm praying, Lord God, you promise that you've not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a one of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm praying, Lord God, that you replace fear with faith this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. You've given to each man the measure of faith, Lord God. Would you help each person this morning that is gripped by fear and troubled by fear to exercise that faith and to believe you that the future is in your hands, Lord. And Father, if we're going to fear anything, Lord God, let us have that holy, reverential fear of you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you bring peace to every fearful heart this morning in work circumstances, Lord God, in fear of where relationships are going, Lord God, would you just bring your peace and your comfort to each one of those situations this morning in the name of Jesus. And I just want to pray specifically this morning. If you seated here this morning and the love of Jesus is not a reality to you. You've heard about it so many times, but to you, it's not real. You're battling to understand that God loves you. I want to pray for you this morning. And Lord, I pray for those, Lord God, that are just battling to come to terms with the fact that you, it's part of all we do, that you love us. And Lord, we've heard for so long that you're a God of love, but for so many of us, it's not a reality. Lord, it's something that we don't understand because we don't see the evidence of it in our lives. I pray for those this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would show your love to them in a very, very specific, real, tangible way for them as individuals. Lord, I pray that your love for each person becomes clear to them as an individual this morning. In the name of Jesus, through some person, through some act of kindness, Lord God, through you speaking to them, through nature, through whatever, Lord God, Lord, use whatever means to help every doubting mind see that you love them unconditionally. And as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed this morning, as you doing business with God right there where you're seated, maybe you have a fear and uncertainty of where you're going to spend eternity. You're not even sure if your relationship is right with God. I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. It is one simple prayer of faith away. It is not some religious system or a set of rules that you have to comply to. It's simply believing that Jesus is who he says he is and making him Lord of your life and surrendering your past, present, and your unknown future to his lordship this morning. And if you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, if your heart stops or and you'd like to make sure of that this morning and have peace in your heart that you're okay with God, if that is you this morning, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that here this morning? Just put your hand up quickly, please. Once I've seen your hand, you can put it down. Anybody? God bless you. Would you stand as we worship the Lord together one more time? All of us, let's stand together.